The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to officially welcome our podcast audience and welcome our YouTube audience as well. And today I'm going to be dealing with letting go of our kingdom to embrace the fullness of His kingdom. I want to say that again. Today I want to minister on letting go of our kingdom to fully embrace His kingdom. One of the things that when the disciples were coming to Jesus and they came to Him in private and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And one of the first things he said, "Pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Listen to this next part: "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, again, he was speaking to disciples there, followers of his, converts of his. He was not speaking to the world, but he was speaking to those who had given their lives to him. They had made a decision to walk away from the things and the whether it be their careers, whether it be families, whether it be whatever it was, they walked away from the familiarity of their own lives and their own kingdoms to fully embrace His kingdom. So this is why when Jesus said, "You pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then, as we read the Gospels, Peter gets a revelation of Jesus as more than just a rabbi or a good teacher, but he gets the revelation that he is the Son of the living God. And as a direct consequence of that revelation, the Lord pulls him aside and says, "This was not revealed unto you by flesh and blood, but it was revealed to you by my Father which is in heaven." And he says, and because of that, he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." So he gave him kingdom authority, kingdom keys, and he gives him a kingdom mandate. Now, what I see a lot of times is, and that's really what I want to home in today. We're going to go through some scriptures here. We're going to hang out in Luke 9. We're going to go over here to Matthew 16, and we're going to go to some other places as well. So I want to talk about, let me give you one example here. This is the story of the rich young ruler. This is a perfect example of this. "Now behold, one came unto Jesus, saying, Good teacher, what good thing..." Now listen what he asked him. "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said unto him, "Why do you call me good?" So he addresses this right off the bat. No one is good but one, and that is God. "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now I want to stop right there. Notice Jesus, you know, there's a lot of teachers today, a lot of preachers today, a lot of evangelists today. They discourage the body of Christ from keeping the commandments. And they say that if you try to keep the commandments, or if you even attempt to keep the commandments, then you're pulling people back into Judaism, or you're pulling people under the law. But I'll remind you that Jesus himself said, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He didn't nullify the commandments. He didn't do away with the commandments. In fact, the Word of God says that Jesus himself is speaking, and he says, "I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." He says, "Not one jot nor tittle of the word will not come to pass." He said, "Heaven and earth shall not pass away until every jot and tittle of this word comes to pass." So again, so we see here, he says, "You shall keep the command." And even in 1 John, which was written after the resurrection, I remind you, again, John writes about it in his epistles in 1 John. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus was speaking. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, was this only going to be, is this something that we only did when Jesus was around and he was in the flesh and he was here before he was crucified, before he was raised from the dead, and before he ascended into the Father? Or do we continue to keep the commandments? I've always said, listen, if you say no, then you put yourself in even greater danger, because Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He actually raised the standard. I can show you the New Testament where Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you that if you even looked at another individual to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And then he says, it's written, thou shalt not murder. But I tell you that if you harbor or you have hate in your heart towards your brother or your sister, you have already committed murder in your heart. So he raised the standard, not lowered it. Now listen to this. Watch this. Jesus, and he said unto him, he says, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, and I could see him patting himself on the back, and saying, all these things I've kept from my youth. So what do I still lack? Now, I want to stop here. Something I'm going to pull out of this that I've never heard anybody else pull out of this before. If this rich young ruler was so assured of his salvation, because he kept the commandments. After all, he kept all these commandments. He even testified, I've kept all these from my youth. But notice that he still had a question in his heart. And he said, what do I still lack? Again, you got to get this before I move on. If he had all of his ducks in a row, and he had everything lined up, and he met all the qualifications, he met all the criteria under the law of Moses, he kept all the commandments as he did a little child, then he would not even have come to the Lord and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Because after all, he was already doing it, guys. Do y'all see that? But watch this. But come on, Christ came not so that he could put commandments on tablets of stone, but he came that he might write the law of the word and law of the Lord upon our hearts, made of flesh and not of stone. So the man's heart was convicting him, even though he, by the law of the letter, he met all the criteria and met all the standards to meet and to inherit eternal life. But something was going on the inside of him, and it was called conviction. And he said, which one do I still lack? And Jesus said unto him, watch this. Oh, this is what I love about Jesus. Listen, when we get in the presence of the Lord, when we get in his presence, there's never a moment when you really get into the presence of the Lord. He's most of the time, listen, he loves us as a father. He does. He embraces us. But I'm going to tell you, when he shows up, he's going to begin to show a spotlight, because the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, the kingdom of God is holiness, righteousness. It is walking uprightly before him. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. I don't want you to get this out of this message. I'm going, just don't hang up yet. Stay on the line and let me finish. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you get into the true presence of God, our hearts will begin to be exposed to the Holy Spirit. And listen, You may go to the church. You may go to the house of God every time it's open. You are a faithful tither. You're pursuing God. But there's that one part of your heart that you don't want the Lord to. You can go in this door, Lord. You can go in that door. You can go through this. But don't touch that one thing. And I can see the rich young ruler. He could go to the synagogue. They'd pat him on the back, tell him he's doing a great job. He's blessed. He's a godly man. You're doing good. You're meriting all the qualifications to get into the kingdom. But then when he came face to face with Jesus, Jesus said, these things are good. I commend you. I commend you that you're honoring your mother and father. I commend you that you're not committing adultery. I commend you that you've not murdered or you didn't steal or you're not committing idolatry. I commend you on these things. But I have this one thing that I want to talk to you about. Come on. Have you read that somewhere? I have. It's called the Book of Revelation, when he is going through the seven churches and he affirms them, and he affirms them of the good in which they're doing. He says, you've got this going for you. You're doing that. You hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, in which I hate. You're doing this. You're doing that. But I have a few things that we need to talk about. And I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, we can put on a mask and we can put on a charade and we can put on a front in front of church folks and church people in the house of God and on behind cameras and this and that. But I'm going to tell you, when you get in the real presence of God and you have an encounter with the Lord, he's going to begin to come on. It's not that he's trying to belittle you. He's just trying to grow you up. Whew. So listen what he says. Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And the Bible says, but when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In other words, this was the one thing that he was, oh, you got to listen to what I'm going to say today, because I'm going to go right in your living room in just a minute. He said, I commend you for all these things, but there's just one thing that you're not willing to give up. Come on. There's one thing of your kingdom that you're trying to hold on to with both hands, white knuckled. But if you will surrender it for my kingdom, you're going to see, come on, things that you could not imagine on this side of heaven and on that side of heaven. That's what he told him. This is a phenomenal story. Listen, we've got people that come to church. They come to revival meetings. They come to gatherings. They come to youth meetings. They come to whatever. They come and they think, listen, they're not looking to exchange their kingdom for his kingdom. They're just looking to add his kingdom to their own kingdom to better themselves, their businesses, their marriage, and their life. Oh, I want to say it again. A lot of people come to church, or they come to the presence of God in the thinking that they are not looking to exchange or lay down their kingdom and exchange it for his kingdom. They're looking to add his kingdom to their own kingdom so that they can better their own kingdom, to better their marriage, to better their lifestyle, to better their business. Oh, come on. I need a little bit of Jesus in my business so I can get more rich, so I can get more sales, so I can become bigger and I can become better. I want Jesus to come into my health so that I can live longer and I can live healthier. I want Jesus to come into my family so that I can be the Joneses that everybody's trying to keep up with, and I am, come on, the example to everybody else, and everybody looks up to me. I just want a little bit of Jesus so that he can make me look good, but I don't want to, oh, come on, somebody, I don't want to lay down my kingdom and exchange it for his kingdom. So no doubt the rich young ruler was hoping that the Lord would overlook the fact that he lusted after other things, and he had faith in his own resources and his own abilities and his riches, and not in what God could do, and not what the purpose he had for his own advancement. Listen, this story was so amazing and complex that even the disciples came to him. They saw this happen. The disciples were present and saw this take place. And they said, "Assuredly I say to you," listen what the Lord says here. Watch this. The Lord looks at the disciples after this, says, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And again, I want to say this. God is not bashing someone who is wealthy and who is well off. Come on. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. Not money, not riches. Come on. And not wealth. Because riches, wealth, and money can do a whole lot for the kingdom of heaven on this side of heaven, because we can use that money, use those resources, and advance his kingdom in our kingdoms. But what he's saying here is, when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, so they're looking among themselves saying, "Who then can be saved?" So Jesus looked at them and said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." In other words, what he's saying is, without a relationship, without a burning relationship with me, this is what he's saying, without a relationship, a knowing relationship. That is that word know, known, knowing. It's used in the New Testament all the time. That is a word that has a connotation as an intimate. If you have it without an intimate encounter with Jesus Christ, whatever you looked like before that encounter, you're not going to be able to lay down those things. Come on, a Warren Buffett or whoever you want to list, an individual that is very wealthy, very prestigious, very well known, they are not going to advance the kingdom of God. They're not going to do things that are unorthodox to us, to the natural, unless they have a wrecking encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ that changes and transforms their lives. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. He says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can change and transform anybody. But watch, I'm not done. Let me read on here. And then Peter answered and said to him, "Look, we've left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" And he says, and surely I say unto you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. Now, there's one of the other gospel writers says, we'll receive 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. So then we have another story in Luke 9. Now, before we get to this, I want to share with you what happened a couple days ago. But actually, it goes back 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago on a Friday night, my pastor here in Georgia had me minister to the youth on a Friday night. So I came, brought a message. The power of God showed up. There was one young lady that came. She came forward, gave her heart to the Lord, got radically saved, so on fire for God that she went back home. On her way home, she called her mother and said, "I want you to be up. be awake, because I got to share something with you. I want to tell you what happened to me. I gave my heart to the Lord. So she got home and she was just burning on fire, radically transformed by God's power. Come on, praise God. Saved, born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then she said, I want to get baptized. I want everything that God's got for me. So this Sunday morning, I have the honor to baptize her along with many other people in our church. I believe we're in personal revival, corporate and personal revival in our church and in our homes and our community where we're at here in Georgia. So God is moving. But watch this. But a couple nights ago, and I got to be careful here what I say, but this young lady comes out of a home that is... it's a home that is divided. When I say that, is you've got one that's totally not a believer, not serving God, nothing to do with God. The other individual is had a relationship with God, but backslid, kind of fell away, and that was the mother. So a couple days ago, I went to this place of business where the mother works, went with some other individuals, and they went along with me. We got there. We started talking to this young lady's mother, the young lady that gave her heart to the Lord at the youth meeting and is going to be baptized. Now God's after her mother. So we're there. We're sitting there. All of a sudden I started just witnessing the Lord to her, and come to find out she had a relationship a long time ago. She used to go to every church service, used to go to camp meetings, used to go to Sunday school, but she had an encounter with an expression of religion, but never a relationship. And I said, so-and-so, the God of heaven, the same God that wrecked your daughter, saved your daughter, delivered your daughter, is the same God who wants to touch you and radically transform you. So I asked her if we could pray for her. She said, yes. This is what blew my mind. You ready for this? This is in her place of business. Nobody was there. It was after hours. They were closing down. She's standing there, standing up, not in a church building, not in a conference, not in a revival service, in her place of business. I walk up to her, and we all gathered hands. We started praying, breaking stuff off, asking the Lord's blessing, and the Lord spoke to me while we were holding hands and said, stop right now. And I said, what? Stop right now. He said, there's only so much I can do, because a covenant is two ways. And I knew what he meant by that. So we had to stop praying. And I told her, I said, so-and-so, listen, this goes right along with my message. Are you willing to let go of your life and surrender your life to God and his kingdom? And if you are, he wants to take control. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. And he not only does he want to be your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. Now, you want Bible for that? In Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, deny himself, meaning let him lay aside his own agenda, his own purposes, his own kingdom, and take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it a man to gain the whole world, yet lose and forfeit his own soul? Wow. So this is what I asked her. And tears falling down her face, she said, yes, I am. And I said, I want you to lift your hands. Again, this is not a church service. This is in her place of business. I said, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Focus on him. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about him. Lift your eyes to him and truly give it to him. And she said, yes, I want to. And she lifted up her hands. At that moment, I begin to pray. I said, Father, I'm asking that when I lay my hands on her head, that she will feel the tangible, manifest presence of you, the fire of God, the love of God, the glory of God, when I lay my hands on her. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was just being obedient. I put my hand on her. The power of God hit her, and bam, she fell out in the floor of her business. God, come on, God wrecked her right there. Boom, falling under the power of God. Well, I don't believe in all that stuff. I don't care if you believe in it or not. It wasn't in the church service. She wasn't faking it till she made it. You can't make that stuff up. This woman didn't know church protocol, didn't know any of that stuff. But God wrecked her right there. And I'm praying, and I want you to pray, that she'll come this Sunday and get baptized with her daughter. What am I talking about? I'm talking about, but listen, here's what I'm talking about. Are we going to, what do we want from God? Do we want to add him to our life to better our life? Or are we willing to lay down our lives so that we can follow his kingdom and see his kingdom advance in our community, advance in our cities, advance in our family, advance in our churches, and see the power of God sweep through wherever he puts us, places us in proximity. It could be in your business. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your family. It could be in your church, your community, whatever it is. And here's the thing I love about it is many times we can't get folks into the house of God, so we got to go to them and get to their house. That's what happened a couple days ago. Listen, we tried to get this individual to the house of God, but they wouldn't do it. Satan always comes up with some kind of a scheme, some kind of a plan, some kind of an excuse. Come on, somebody. But sometimes we got to step out of our comfort zone, step out of our boats. We got to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come unto the house of the Lord. And I would, come on, somebody give the Lord an amen, a thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on, the same God that's doing this, what I'm talking about right now, he wants to do that in your life. He wants to do it in your family. He wants to do it in your children. Listen, my own son, 12 years of age, I have the privilege and the honor to be baptizing him as well this Sunday. Now you say, why did you wait till he was 12 to baptize him? Because I wanted to make sure that he had a full understanding of what it means to be baptized and why it's important. See, because we can baptize you when you're 5 or when you're 2 or you're an infant. And people use that excuse all the time. Well, I don't need to be baptized. I got baptized when I was 1. They can't remember it. I got baptized when I was 5. No, no, no. Some of y'all, listen, the Lord will put it upon your heart and he may tell you to get baptized again. Why? Because it's an outward expression of an inward change. It's a testimony to everybody publicly that I am being, come on, I'm being buried. My old life is being buried and I'm being raised into a new life in Christ Jesus. But my friends, I'm telling you today, don't miss my point. And this is what I want to tell you. This is what I want to leave you with. We will never fully be able to embrace the kingdom of heaven unless we are willfully willing to lay down our own kingdom on this side of earth. Remember, Jesus said, if any man tries to save his life, he'll lose it. You're so afraid to let go of that business because, well, brother, if I fully give my heart to the Lord and he starts asking me to tithe and give my resources, then what am I going to do? Because I'm going to have more money going out than I've got coming in. You're right. It makes no sense because it's kingdom principles. Why do you think Jesus told Nicodemus, lest you're born again, you'll by no means perceive or see or understand the kingdom of heaven? Listen, if you're trying to intellectually reason out the kingdom, you'll never figure it out. You'll exhaust yourself. You'll give yourself, come on, the biggest headache you can imagine, because we were never meant to try to figure God out with the brain in our head. We receive him in our spirits. Those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, who am I talking to today? There's somebody listening by podcast, listening by YouTube, watching by Facebook. And you, listen, you try to add Jesus to your life. He's like a scarf. You've got a nice shirt. You've got a nice pair of pants. You've got some nice shoes. But every now and then it gets a little bit cold. It gets cold. And you want to pull out Jesus from the drawer and use him as a scarf to put around your neck so that you can keep yourself warm. Come on. You listen, you don't need Jesus until things get a little bit cold in your business. And then, oh, I need a little bit of that Jesus. I need a little bit of that in my business. Or when things start going awry in your marriage, then you want to use a little bit of Jesus for your marriage then, or you want a little bit of Jesus. You don't want to put on Christ Jesus every day, like Paul said. He said, put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You just want him as an accessory. You want him as an add-on to your own life. And other friends, it ain't going to work. You can't continue to live the same life. This Bible is full of men that God, He chose them from the fields. He chose them as tax collectors. He chose them as fishermen. He made all kinds of choices. But when you read this Bible, when he chose them, he turned their lives and flipped them upside down. Listen, then he used them to advance his kingdom. No longer will you be fishers. You will not fish for fish anymore, but I'll make you fishers of men. And that's what God wants to do today. So listen, if you're watching this today by YouTube, watching by Facebook, or listening by podcast, I want to pray for you today. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us. Guys, we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Parler. We're on MeWe. We're on, I'm losing track of USA.life. We're on YouTube. We've got podcasts. We've got an app. We're all over the place. If you can't find us, you're not looking for us. So that's where I want you to, if you want to follow us and keep up with what we're doing, you know, these are all the avenues you can do that. But I want to pray for you right here before we close this thing out. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice today that's watching to this broadcast, watching live, listening live. And Lord, I thank you, Father. I believe that you're wrecking some people right now. You're going in, and Lord, that Father, they've done good things. They've done kingdom things. They've been born again. They've been saved, but they're holding on to things. They're holding on. They're white knuckling things that they're not willing to lay down for the sake of your kingdom. But God, I believe that you are going right into their living room, going right into their office, going into their vehicle, going into where they're at right now, listening, or whatever time this may be, or whatever day they might listen to this. Lord, you're going right into their business. And God, just like the rich young ruler, you are bringing to light. You're exposing that thing that they're trying to hold on to. But God, you're saying if you'll just lay it down, you're telling them that if they'll lay down that thing, then Father, they'll be able to pick up something far greater, not only on this side of heaven, but waiting for them on the other side of heaven. Lord, I thank you that anything that we lay down on this side of heaven, you have something far greater awaiting for us, not only in heaven, but even on this side of heaven. Lord, I remember all the times that I had to give up people. I had to give up relationships. I've had to give up possessional things. I've had to give up things, Lord, and it was hard, and I had to release it. But Lord, looking back in retrospect, there was nothing that I had to give up that you did not replace 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so I thank you today that you're doing that with every brother and every sister that's watching this program today or listening to this broadcast today. I thank you that you're bringing them into a deeper devotional relationship with you where they can, Lord, we don't want an Ananias and Sapphira that's holding back the glory of God and holding back the presence of God. We're not going to, Lord, we don't want to lie to the Holy Spirit today, but Father, we say, have your way in our hearts. Let us lay down that thing, that one thing. We've got this and this and that that you're commending us, but you're saying today, if you'll lay down everything about your kingdom and take up and exchange it for my kingdom, then there is a far greater glory that is ahead and waiting. And I thank you for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you guys again. Thank you for taking the time out today. I don't know what's going on with the comments. I've not seen a single comment on my end. I really hope people were able to comment. Listen, Facebook, I don't know what's going on with them, but there's so much shadow banning and suppression that's going on. It's ridiculous. You can't even comment on Threads. It's like things are vanishing. Posts are vanishing. Pages are vanishing. This is why I keep imploring people to go and find out other sources, other social media sites that you can keep up with our ministry. I named a bunch of them. Listen, if it's a big time network, we're there. All these other social media outlets, we're there. Parler, MeWe, USA.live, Twitter, we're on these other platforms. You just got to get out of your comfort zone and start looking at these places. And you need to do it now, because we don't know after October 1st. I don't know what's going to happen with even this page on Facebook. If you're listening by Facebook, we don't know what's coming down the pike. But I'm telling you, even prophets have said, and people and watchmen, those who hear and they see, they have an eye to see and they have an ear to hear what's going on. They've all warned us things are coming down the pike. So again, as always, we want to give an opportunity to sow into this ministry. If you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do that going by our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can visit there. You can go to our app, go all the way down to the bottom to the right. It's going to see a place where it says go donate. You can click on that little icon. You can give electronically. It's going to show you where you can give by check or money order as well. And as always, we thank you and we appreciate your support, your partnership, and your prayers to this ministry to help us continue to do what we're doing, and that's advancing the kingdom through the airwaves of social media and all these platforms that the Lord has been generous to give us for the time that we're in right now. So until we see you guys, we're going to sign off for today, but we'll be back on here on Monday. But until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you, and may he bless you coming in, coming out. May the angels of the Lord be with you, protect you from harm, danger, any disabling accidents. May he bless the works of your hands to prosper and all these things in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you soon.